This is Doug Miller. Shall we continue with what we started last time? Shall we take a look at this passage that I said is one of the most important we can ever read? Oh, why not? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back in the 15th chapter of Acts to continue this very critically important passage to see salvation as it was taken out to the Gentiles in a new dispensation, a dispensation of grace, to see salvation offered apart from the law, apart from works, a free gift of God. I think this is important enough, you better call a friend and tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And we are, to this end, utterly dependent upon our listeners, upon those who have an interest in this ministry. And we need your support. We need your prayers. Please pray for Dialogue. And, of course, as I always say, we would love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again later on. We would also love to, if you don't like to write letters by hand, why, that's okay. Send us an email. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you would like to pull down our webpage and read about Dialogue pull down some of our broadcasts there and listen to them, please do. All for free, no obligations, no strings attached. Our webpage is Dialogue Ministries. Excuse me for that little tongue twister. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org, O-R-G. Do not put in .com, you'll get something else. DialogueMinistries.org. And if you would like to call us, our telephone, 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. I always say, when you call, you'll get a recording. No big deal. We are strictly low budget around here by design and plan to stay that way. So you'll get a recording, and I'll get back with you probably at my convenience rather than yours. So at any rate, there you are. Now let's see what else I can tell you. I believe that will do it. Let's get into the book here and see what the Lord has for us. When we left the last time, remember the stage that is set here. Paul and Barnabas have gone up to Jerusalem. And here, seated around them as they present their case, as they make their case, are the very men, Peter, James, John, Andrew, and so forth, who were taught by the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. The question, we have got a whole bunch of people coming in now and believing in the Lord Jesus and trusting in him and believing the gospel and being saved. And these people are not Jews. These people were not raised under the sound of the word of God. They did not come out of the synagogues. These are individuals that came out of paganism. Here are individuals who eat pork. Here are individuals who are uncircumcised. and individuals who don't keep the law and never kept it because they don't even know what it is in many cases. Question. Do they have to, in order to be saved, become Jewish proselytes? Do they have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses? Or is belief in the gospel and the good news about Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, is that and that alone sufficient to save them? Now, we saw last time what the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount about the law and about how it has not changed and will not change, and one jot or tittle will not go away. We saw what he said, and we saw that Peter and James and John and these other men who were listening to Paul and Barnabas were no doubt right there on the Sermon on the Mount and heard what he said. Let's go back and pick it up again at Acts or chapter 15, verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, if that's not enough for you, look at the rest of this. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved even as they. Wow. This is dynamite. This is wonderful. I want you to look again at this. What is this yoke Peter's talking about? This yoke that neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. It is the heavy, burdensome, unbearable yoke of the law that these Judaizers were trying to strap these Gentiles with. Put it on them, make them bear. Now, Peter says we weren't able to bear it. Our fathers weren't able to bear it. Why would you want to put this on these Gentiles? In fact, if we are talking salvation, we don't believe that anyone is saved in any other way than, and look at it again in verse 11, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, grace is the Greek word charis, and it means a gift. If you do not understand the word gift, let me help you. Now, you might be saying, well, some more of your arrogance, Miller. Of course we understand the word gift. Oh, do we? Well, if we all understand what a gift is, why are a bunch of us out here acting as if we didn't understand what it is? A gift is a gift is a gift, to paraphrase the late Gertrude Stein. A gift means something that you are given, and if there are strings attached to it, if there are things you have to do to earn it, it's not a gift anymore, friends. Peter uses the word grace here. Oh, me. That is the very thing a bum like me needs to hear. And if you are out there saying, well, I'm not a bum, I'm a good guy. Oh, yes, you keep riding, you'll ride that right into hell. You're not a good guy. If you have not been saved, you are lost. And you cannot be good enough to merit salvation. I don't care how good you try to be. Now look at this. Peter says that through the grace we believe. What do we believe? That we are saved by grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel that Paul and Barnabas had been out there preaching was a gospel that included this wonderful word of grace. You cannot work your way to heaven. You can't do it. And that doesn't mean, when I say grace, it doesn't mean that it didn't cost anything. Oh, it cost someone something. It cost God the death of his Son. It cost our Lord Jesus Christ death and burial and resurrection. It cost him. It meant that he was the one who had to go up the hill, that he was the one burdened with our sins, this unbearable weight which we could never have borne throughout eternity. It would have sunk the world to hell. And our Lord Jesus Christ went up that hill and bore this terrible, awful price. And because he did that, because he suffered for our sins, because he was buried and rose up again in newness of life and in the power of an endless life, because he left our sins behind him in the grave, God is able now to offer salvation freely to anyone who will believe. Now that, I mean, here it is. And it says in verse 12, all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace. All right. Now here are the Judaizers out there saying, if you think Paul and Barnabas know what they're talking about, we are out of the Jerusalem assembly. You just go up there and talk to Peter, James, and John, and those guys. They'll straighten you out. Okay, fine, Jim Dandy. That's exactly what they did. Did Peter and James and John straighten them out? They sure did. They sure did. They agreed with Paul and Barnabas. Why are you out here trying to load and laden down these Gentile believers with this terrible yoke of the law which we couldn't bear? Now think about this a minute. Last week, I hope you were here, we saw what the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Why would Peter and James and John and these others turn around and say the law has nothing to do with salvation? Why would they do that? Were they confused? Are they under condemnation for this? Absolutely not. Something's changed. What has changed? Well, in the first place, the law never could save you at all. Never could get close to saving you because you couldn't keep it. But in the second place, something has happened now in Acts 15 that was not around when Jesus made his statement up on the mount during the so-called Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has died. He went into death. He was buried. He rose again. The gospel which is being preached by Paul was a gospel that could not have been preached before Jesus died, while he was a man on this earth walking the dusty roads of Galilee. That Jesus who was here in weakness and humility and lowliness, that Jesus is not the same Jesus anymore in a sense. Now, please listen carefully. Yes, it's the Jesus that went away. Yes, it's the same Jesus that's coming back again, but something has changed. He has now died. He has gone into physical death, the very God of very God. He went into death bearing sin not his own. He has come up in newness of life, and this gospel that is going out now is going out all over the earth, out to Gentiles, and Gentiles are believing it, and they are coming in. And notice this, James said, men and brethren, this is in verse 13, now hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. I love it. This is sweet, sweet music to these ears. God is even now in this very process of going in among the Gentiles to take out a people for his name. Now, this doesn't mean that there are not Jews being saved in this dispensation of grace through which we are living. Yes, there are Jews being saved, but they're being saved in the same way that Gentiles are being saved, by grace through faith, by believing the gospel. And there are not very many of them being saved. Well, there are not a lot of Gentiles being saved either, comparatively. But there are a people from among the Gentiles being taken out by the Lord for his name. And to this, look at this, agree the words of the prophets as it is written. Now, this man, James, this is the Lord's brother, is quoting from the 9th chapter of Amos in the Old Testament. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after thee, the Lord and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. See this? Isn't this wonderful? A new work is being done. The tabernacle of David is being raised up, but it is not. It is not that tabernacle in the wilderness. It's a different work that's being done now. This one involves Gentiles that are being brought in, that are being added to the Lord. And these Gentiles that are coming in are not coming in because they believe the law of Moses. They're not coming in because they're being circumcised and are becoming Jews. They are coming in by grace. They are coming in because the gospel has gone out in the power and energy of the Holy Spirit, and they have believed it. Now, some of you out there, I have no doubt, are saying, and I say I have no doubt because I've heard this many times, well, I don't understand it. I just don't get what you're driving at. You are not saying anything about turning over a new leaf. You are not saying anything about believing or about being a good guy and being moral and keeping the law as God gave it and so on and so forth. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I am telling you what Peter and James and John and Paul are saying here, that salvation is by grace through faith, that is exactly what it is, and that it is by believing. Now, if you say, well, what am I supposed to do? You're not supposed to do anything, friend. Let God do it. If you really believe what I have just said, if you really have called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you really understand that he is now the Lord of your life, if the Holy Spirit has really shown him to you and put him before you, I want to tell you what happens. You'll have a new life. Your life will change, and it will change unalterably. You know what happens when someone is indwelt by the Holy Spirit? You know what happens when you get saved by believing the gospel? You are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, says Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Sealed, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment until the redemption of the purchased possession. He is going to take us home to glory, and we are going to be changed into his very image, and we will have new bodies and live with him forever. But when that Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you, you know how you can tell if you have really believed, if you have really been saved? Your life will change. Your desires will change. You'll have a new way of looking at life. You'll have a new desire to get into this word and learn about it. You will have a desire for something that you never had before, a desire to be around other believers. You will gravitate toward teachers who are teaching and preaching the true word of God. You will indeed be one of those building blocks, one of those living stones which are a part of this tabernacle that God is raising up. Now, this is a wonderful thing, and I'm telling you, you can call yourself a Christian, and you can say you believe all of this, but if your life is no different than those who haven't believed at all, if you are the same old guy you always were, doing the same old things you always did, if the Holy Spirit has not begun a work in your heart and your life, I've got news for you. You'd better ask yourself what you believed and if you ever really believed. Look at this. Let's read some more. Known unto God, verse 18 of chapter 15, are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we, this is James now, the Lord's brother, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Well, what'd they send them back there for? Well, we can read it here. They wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders, listen carefully, and brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain went out from among us, which went out from among us, have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Is that as clear as God could make it? I hope so. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. Now there you are. That is apostolic, and that, I think, once again, is as clear as God can make it. Friends, listen to me and listen carefully. We are not living under the dispensation of the law. We are living under the dispensation of grace. As my beloved late mother-in-law said to me one time, we are not under the law. We are under grace. And we have it here. And here is the gospel that Paul and Barnabas took out to the Gentiles, and it's the gospel that this guy is speaking and teaching, and I want it to go out to all the world. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.